Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Today's podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best way for you to buy and sell tickets right on your phone. It's a free app that you can get on the iPhone or the Android, and it's going to give you every ticket from every ticket set out there, so you know you're going to get the best deal. You can see the view from your seat right in the app. You're going to get your deals graded based if they're a good deal or a bad deal. And there are no hidden fees with SeatGeek, so you're not going to get the checkout and wonder, why am I paying 50 extra bucks for these tickets that said they were 35 when I was viewing them before? Best of all, my listeners today can save $20 off their first purchase by using the code LOCAVS, that's L-O-C-A-V-S, and you can get the $20 off by entering the promo code, again, that's LOCAVS, right in the settings tab in the app. I've used the app before. I just used it to get Run the Jewels tickets, so I'm going to see Killer Mike and LP this weekend in Cleveland. And there's no better way for you to buy and sell tickets right on your phone. So again, download the SeatGeek app, use that promo code LOCAVS, and save $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Again, the best way to buy and sell tickets is SeatGeek, and save $20 on that first purchase by using the promo code LOCAVS.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers. I'm Chris Manning, your host from Fear the Sword and the Step Back. Today is a mailbag show, which means I'm going to answer your questions. Didn't do this on Monday just because some questions came in late, and I wanted to recap that Suns game, and I just wanted to make sure I got this actual mailbag done because I got a lot of great questions, and I won't be doing one of these next week. Still submit questions to Locked On Cavs on Twitter or to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com, but I have a trip next week where I will be out of town from Monday until Thursday evening. You won't miss any podcast. I'll still have a show up on Monday. That'll be a Warriors game preview with Danny LaRue from Locked On Warriors. Carter Rodriguez will be taking the game recap on Tuesday. You've heard Carter before in the show as a host and as a guest, so he'll be filling in for me on Tuesday. Have some pre-recorded stuff that's some evergreen content for you Wednesday, Thursday, and I'll be back Friday. I'm going to watch the Suns game when I get home and have a recap up for you Friday. So we'll have a mailbag the week after next again. And I just want to make sure this one went extra long. Quick, just so you know, the Cavs did lose last night to the Utah Jazz in Kyle Korver's debut. Fun stat for you, and not fun, I guess, if you have a severe rooting interest here. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love were combined 9-32 from the field last night. That's 28.1%. That is their worst combined field goal percentage in a game as teammates with a minimum of 30 shots, which isn't a high bar for those two to clear. The Cavs lose 192. Kyle Korver scores one. He makes one basket, scores 2 points overall, missed both of his threes. His one basket came on in a catch-and-shoot long two. That came from Kay Felder. So not something I would expect him to take a lot of once he gets fully integrated with this team. The Cavs did beat the Suns on Sunday as well, if you didn't catch that game. So Cavs is a road trip off to a 2-1 start. Beat the two teams you expect them to. Lost in Utah, which they just... it's hard to play in Utah. Then they play Portland tonight, weather permitting, with all the flight issues that are going on. So, going to get into these questions. Got a lot of great ones this week, and I'm pretty happy with everything that came in. So, we're going to start with this one from Douglas Philip Yee. he wrote me an email. Does this acquisition of Kyle Korver give the Cavs the edge over the Warriors? Now, I'm not going to say that this changes the dynamic of the matchup a ton, but I'll say that I think Korver helps. I think he gives you another shooter. He gives you another body you can play. Danny and I talked about the depth issue on Monday's show. We already kind of recorded that to kind of look at what we learned from the first game. And I actually don't think the depth issue is quite as big of a deal as we maybe thought after that first game. You'll have JR back, presumably, for the potential finals rematch. Korver gives you a very playable body. So I don't think he tilts the matchup or makes them the favorites. If you think they're the favorites, I don't think Korver is the guy who should tilt that for you. But I think he helps, and I don't think there's any denying that he is a very useful player in that series. And he's certainly not going to hurt them, I don't think. You have to play him in the right lineups and maximize him in smart ways, but I think he helps. From Kevin Stankiewicz, when do you think the Cavs will get a PG? Closer to the deadline, or do you think they're trying to get someone sooner rather than later? So, it's a good question. I think it's the most pressing question now in a post-Kyle Korver world. I would guess sooner rather than later. They do have an open roster spot. They do have other options. You could go a 10-day contract route, sign a guy like Quinn Cook or Ray McCollum from the D League. I do think that a veteran still makes sense, and I think assigning them is more likely now, so I think the deadline kind of becomes irrelevant. They use part of the Varejao trade exception to get Korver, and as far as we can tell, based on some of the projections we've seen on their cap sheets, which you can find at sites like The Vertical and the ESPN's Trade Machine. So I think you just kind of have to think they're probably not going to trade for him. You're not going to use a guy like Chetty Osman to get a point guard. I don't think that'd be the best use of that asset, personally. So I think what you do is probably find the right veteran. Norris Cole is still out there. Mario Chalmers is out there, and you sign them. And if it's sooner rather than later, I think that helps. It gives you more time to integrate them. Especially, I think you do it maybe when you get back to Cleveland after this road trip, so you're not trying to have a guy meet you in Sacramento or in Oakland and then have them play without any practice. But we'll see. I don't think they're just going to do something just to do something. It'll be something they believe is a calculated decision and is a smart decision. My guess would be sooner rather than later, but that is a little bit of a guess. I wouldn't expect the trade deadline to really be the thing that dictates when they get a point guard at this point. I just don't think a trade for a point guard makes a lot of sense or is the best use of their assets. This one comes from at All Hail LeBron on Twitter. Do you think KD has made the Warriors worse in the sense that he's turning Golden State into OKC instead of playing Golden State style? No. That's just a pretty simple answer for me. I think it's Kevin Durant. He's not going to make any team worse. Pretty simple. If you want to look at issues of their late-game offense, sure, but I don't think they're worse because they have Kevin Durant. I think OKC was really good. It wasn't like they were bad, so I think that there are issues that they're figuring out with the end of the games and whatnot, but I don't think Kevin Durant is, by any stretch of the imagination, making the Warriors worse. You just got to figure out the issues, and there are issues that I don't think are quite as bad as some other teams. We got another question from All Hail LeBron. Who should get the starting shooting guard spot on playoff time? JR, Korver, or Liggins? So, I think Liggins is going to start between now and the playoffs. Korver could, I guess, get that spot, but I would guess Liggins keeps it. I think it makes more sense to bring Korver off the bench. If JR's hand is healthy and he's good to go, I would guess him. But it all depends on his hand health, right? Or his thumb health, to be more accurate. If his thumb isn't right and he's not shooting well, you probably have to bring him back slowly. You have to worry about how good of shape he can be in after missing a bunch of time. So I would guess JR, but it depends on his thumb health. Korver could be really great and blow them away. Liggins could cement his spot, and Lou could say, you know what, you've earned this over the last few months. We're going to bring JR off the bench. But I think JR makes the most sense, provided he's in the adequate shape and his thumb's all right for him to be in the J.R. Smith that we know. You hear the timetable and you think he's going to be back, and yeah, he's going to be back probably, but you can't know 100% sure that he's going to be that exact guy that you wanted to be from day one, because it's just not that likely. From Perry Kellis, does it feel like the Cavs giving up basically all their first picks will put LeBron in a hold to stay with the organization for the rest of his career, seeing that they're giving up most of their future drafting chances away for complimentary players for Bron, and if he leaves, they get bad and their draft picks get good? I don't think LeBron's decision to stay is necessarily tied to what the Cavs are doing in terms of their draft assets. I think if you look at what they've done, they're complimenting him for sure, and they're making a case to him, as they always were, that, you know, we have your best interest in mind, and we're going to maximize your window and all this stuff. But if LeBron wants to leave, I don't think he has to say, oh, I feel bad for the Cavs, or, you know, they traded a lot of picks for me, I got to stay and help them last. I think if LeBron ever wanted to leave again, or if he stays Hooker and then retires, he has to do it on his own terms, and I think that's all you can ask of somebody. Comparing real jobs and, or not real jobs, but 9-to-5 jobs and NBA players is hard because they're just different worlds, but I mean, you have to do what's best for you, regardless of what job you have, whether you're a journalist or a NBA player, or, you know, you're working a fast food job. Like, you have to do what's best for you and do what you think is right for you and your family and your loved ones. And if LeBron decides that retiring or leaving is what he'd wanted to do, and the Cavs don't have any picks to deal with while he's gone, that's just kind of the world you have to live in, I think. I don't necessarily think he's in a hole because of it. I think he's here because they've made the case for him that they're the best team for him to win. And for LeBron, that's all that really matters. If the Cavs were getting guys like Korver, you know, and they're trading what would be a bad first-round pick for him, that's a good deal for the Cavs because you're helping yourself win now. And I personally think that's the right attitude. Like, you have LeBron James, you don't have him forever. I mean, it may feel like he's going to be great forever, but he's just not. That's not how aging works. That's not how basketball really works. So you just have to maximize his window. And, you know, they may suck when it comes. I've made the decision after, and if Kyrie and Love left at the same time, or, you know, if they don't here. But I don't think he is tethered to the team to stay. I don't think that really would factor in his decision. That, to me, seems a little bit kind of a bad read on that situation. From Kevin at KV Slat, how many minutes do you think Korver will get initially, and then when does JR comes back? And then when JR comes back, love the pod. So thanks for loving the pod. If you do, by the way, if you're like Kevin and love the pod, go give us that 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Share it with your friends, and I'm gonna issue a challenge to the listeners out there. Actually, while I have your attention right now, please share this podcast, share the iTunes link, or share the Audio Boom channel out to your friends on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, if that's your thing. Share it so other people know about this podcast. Tell them why you like it. Tag me in it at CDMemorates, or tag the podcast at Locked On Cavs, both or whichever one works. And I'll give you a shout-out on a future show for anyone who does that. And no matter how many people it is, if it's 1,000 people, if it's 2,000 people, if it's 50 people, I'll do it. I may have to break them up over show, so I'm not doing that. But I just share it to help other people find it. Give us a 5-star rating and review, and it'll help. And I would greatly appreciate it if you did that. But his question's a good one, I think. I think if you look at the Jazz game, Korver plays 18 minutes. I think that's a relatively reasonable number for him. I could see more once he gets more acclimated and has been here 2-3 weeks, but 18 to 22 is kind of the sweet spot. He's going to be still filling in a 9-man rotation. It's close to what RJ plays on a given night. It's the minutes you're going to suck up from McRae and from different guy and Kay Felder, and, you know, that maybe goes down when JR gets it back, but that's the kind of minutes you're going to play in the wing when you're playing with LeBron, and you're kind of really filling one spot for most of the game. Because Shumpert's kind of the backup three, even if he's also the backup one, and that's sort of convoluted, but it's just, you know, reality. I think 18 to 22 minutes is good for Korver. When JR comes back, that's a tough question to answer because we don't exactly, again, know what JR is going to be when he gets back. I think you bring him along slowly, so that won't eat up in the Korver's minutes. That will eat in the Korver's minutes, rather. regardless, and it depends on how much they want to play Liggins, right? Like, I mean, if they play keep playing Liggins 15 minutes a night, Korver's going to be a guy who has his minutes cut as a result. But if Liggins goes from being a starter to playing 5 minutes a game or 8 minutes a game, Korver's going to play more. My guess would be around 15, but that's a hazardous guess at best. We just don't know. I mean, that's so far off. I mean, we still have to get through February, most of January, really still. February, March, and then if JR comes back in March or April, which seems more likely, that you don't even know yet, and that's just still a lot of basketball away for us to really guess that. But that would be my best guess as of now with all that time off. And that is I think it is a fair question, because I think it is one of the more interesting things to kind of consider when you talk about the Cavs rotation, is how does JR fit back into this when things kind of go back to normal, and how does Korver fit in when things go back to normal? Because I think that's a pretty reasonable question. So our last question comes from Slade in an email, and he asks, what's the Cavs' next move? Is it a permanent move in terms of signing a guy for the whole season? Is it a 10-day contract player or a trade? This is what I would guess. From my understanding, I don't think they're looking at a lot of 10 days right now. I don't think they need to after getting Korver. If this was a week ago and they hadn't signed anybody, I would say maybe that would make sense to go and get a 10-day contract player, have a Ray McCollum or a Quinn Cook just eat up some minutes, or a Manny Harris, former Cav Manny Harris, who's playing well in the D-League, or a Elijah Millsap, or whoever you want it to be from the D-League. Sign that guy to a 10-day deal and let him eat up some minutes. When you have this roster, I don't think that makes sense. You're not really in need of that type of guy. It doesn't make sense. I don't think a trade makes a ton of sense. From my understanding and from just what I can read on the situation, I think we're going to see a trade. I don't think it makes a lot of sense based on their assets, and I don't think this is necessarily in the cards. They still have some trade exceptions and stuff, and Griffin's great, but I think if you're going to get, they're going to get somebody. I think it's a guy like Mario Chalmers, who is signed for a couple days near, closer to the deadline, rather, to be in the playoff roster in March, so you still have time to do it. And I think he is signed for the rest of the year. I don't think if they're going to do anything in the immediate future, that it's going to be getting a guy who's going to be around the team for 2-3 years. I don't think that's the situation. I'll read it that way. And I could be wrong. They could go trade for a wing or a center that's on a good deal for the next 3 years. I just don't think they have the assets to really get that done. You got Korver partially because he was on an expiring contract, because he came at a pretty low price. It's hard to go and get a really impactful player when the Cavs' asset chest isn't exactly overflowing with really, really useful guys. Chetty Osman could be a really nice player. And Trevor Magnotti over the Fielder made an argument why the Cavs should trade him, and I think it's a fair argument. I just don't know how much you're actually getting in return for him versus being able to cost control him next year when he supposedly is going to come over, and then he can be a useful rotation player. Because if he can be a useful rotation player on a rookie deal for the Cavs, that saves you a bunch of money. That's a lot of value. And I think that's something to just kind of consider, irregardless of his potential 2-3 years from now. So that's going to do it for today's podcast. Again, a lot of great questions for this solo mailbag podcast. We'll do another one a week after next. So just submit questions anytime between now and then to @LockedOnCavs or to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. Sorry again for not having the pod yesterday. We'll have one tomorrow. And again, share us on social media. Share with your friends on Facebook. Let me know if you've done that, and I'll give you a shout-out on the show. And give us that 5-star rating interview on iTunes. This is Chris Manning. This has been Locked On Cavs. Talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to GEICO, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
GEICO, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.